dreams burning rubber, call that horse shit. Wasn't always this way back in the day, I couldn't afford shit. Now I might just mess around and end up on the Forbes list. Like it or not, we gon' stay on top, not now, you can't ignore this. In the F8, in the left lane.
Hey everybody, welcome to the WIT Podcast. Hanging out with you guys today. Gonna run through the homework super fast for you guys. So you guys know the deal. You gotta like, comment, share, get the podcast out there. We've got episodes that are starting to creep over a certain level, and it's you guys. It's you guys sharing it out. It's you guys pushing it. Every time we post a podcast, you guys are listening and downloading the podcast. I just need you guys to do one more thing. I need you guys to leave some reviews over there, right? So we've got some. If you go over there now, there's a few. Please leave a comment over there. Put a review. Especially on Spotify, you guys, if you guys are just listening on iTunes, that's cool. But if you can go over to Spotify and help us out over there too, that'd be cool. You guys know from time to time, we use a little bit of salty language. You got some little ears in the car. You might want to hit pause and come back to it a little bit later. We're working on it. I think we're doing pretty good, bro.
I think we're doing good.
I don't know, Skylar, you'd have to tell us, but I'd have to go back. I don't think we've dropped any F-bombs lately. So
it's been a long time.
We're doing all right. Yeah. But yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing good. Had a good weekend. Yeah.
Were you in Florida all weekend or did you come back?
I came back yesterday morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to put one of the hot properties down under contract down there. It was a good weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. What's the weather like down there right now?
Dude. That's what we
we get on the airplane and you're like, I don't know.
We were like hitting the runway and like it was just like dreary and, you know, kind of rainy looking.
Yeah.
And like Kelly was just like, I was literally just in my bikini. You know? Because it was like 80, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 80, high 70s, 80 during the day. And then at night, like 60s, like it's beautiful down there, man. It's beautiful. The water's a little chilly.
Yeah.
But if you're not getting it, it's awesome. Yeah. But honestly, man, I like the, I like the change. Like as far as like, I don't mind like a little bit of like cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the one, big upside. Like, you know, we live half the time in South Carolina. And when it gets super, super cold here, kind of like I'm sure you feel, you like head over there and it's like a little warmer.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't get that like, you get out of it for a little bit.
One makes me appreciate the other though.
Yeah, like, sure does. Of course.
It's, I know as I'm getting older, I'm starting to appreciate the winter a little less and less, but I still like the winter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry. That's me.
Yeah.
I'll pause this down. But yeah. All right. Cool. Well, not to hard shift gears, but this is a big deal. Like we need to talk about this. I don't think a lot of people talk about this enough. You and I have had conversations about it. And what we're going to touch on today is really talking about like setting up the foundation for financial stability. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And then like, we got to talk about some taxes, man.
Yeah,
like, man. And again, like you and me were talking about this recently and, we're working on buying another home and it's like, you know, where are the pitfalls down? What do you do with the tax side?
Yeah.
Right. Essentially. Yeah. So we'll get into that, but, let's start kind of at the beginning of things and just talk about, man, like when you first got started and you're starting to make more money than you've ever made, mm-hmm. you start to see all this money start to come in. What are some disciplines or some things that you immediately were like, okay, this is a lot. I got to start doing some things with this to make sure that I don't end up like, and maybe you didn't have this thought process, but so you don't end up like a lot of the guys who squander away the money or they spend it and don't really have it, but they think they have it kind of thing. So what are some things, just principles you did at the beginning?
Man, well, I read a couple Dave Ramsey books.
Okay. Yeah.
But starting off, very first starting off, I separated. We opened up three accounts and I would do a 40-40-20 split.
Yeah.
Right. And so it would be 40 into savings, 40 into checking, and then the 20% was mine.
Okay.
Like that was like whatever, out to eat, shoes, like, but that's all that I get, right? Mm-hmm. And really like started in doing that, like that was like when I was working in the union. Right. And I started doing that. And then as like, we started growing and opening up the company, you know, by that time, like I figured out like, okay, what does it cost for us to survive a month? Hmm. Right. And this is personally and everything, haircuts, food, gas, like it, what do we ever spend on? What's my shoe spend a month, you know?
Yeah.
And so every dollar, like what's that look like? And then, so it's like, okay, I can have that really laid out. And it's like, okay, that's all the money I get for the, we get for the month. Mm-hmm. And then I was just started direct depositing everything else in the savings. And then like, that's like, you can start to put the bills on auto pay. But, you know, I think what was more important and looking back from early on, like, I was never really good at just saving money. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I'm just going to throw it under the mattress for a rainy day.
Yeah.
But it became a lot easier for me to save money that was anchored to something, right? Like the first thing, like, was buying a truck, you know, and then next thing was buying a house for Kelly Landon and I. Mm-hmm. And, but like really having that next thing that it's anchored to, you know, somebody had told me a while back, and it's very true. A dollar without a purpose is going to find its own purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone. Yeah. So that was really big early on. And man, I used to play a game, like, what's the least amount of money I could survive on? And it was like, you know, and I think this is like where God's design on my life really had to play and stuff. Like, cause I was coming from super humble beginnings. Like, it wasn't like I was up here and like trying to, like, I didn't even know what keeping up the Joneses looked like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even know the Joneses.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was like, man, it was like, it was like Vans hoodie or Walmart hoodies and Vans 2 for $50, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like really, I used to say to myself all the time, short-term sacrifice, long-term gain, short-term sacrifice, long-term gain. And, you know, it was like the first emergency fund setting up was like $1,000, right? And that was like when I was working in the union, like the next emergency fund was like, okay, I got a whole month of survival put to the side, right? And it's like, okay, and the next thing you know, it's 60 days and then 90 days, right? And it's just, I just kept building that up. Mm-hmm. But really, like, having, again, like, the purpose why it's important, I'm intentional with any of this, you know, was really important.
Yeah.
And it's, so I don't know.
How did you get, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I do want to ask you this, because it kind of, you kind of triggered something a little bit there, where it's like, how did you get to the space where you didn't feel like, you were like restricted, like where you could still spend whatever you wanted, but how did you just build that mindset where you didn't feel like, well, savings, to some people, we talk about savings and things like that, and they're like, I don't believe in that. That makes me feel restricted, that I can't spend the money. I like seeing the money in the account, because it makes me feel like I can spend it if I want to spend it. But otherwise, if I stick it over there and I can't see it, then I feel like I'm restricted from it.
Yeah. Well, I think, man, there's just a lot of discipline is required in this. And because it's like I think a lot of people can't see the money, right? Like, if they see the money, they're going to spend it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because maybe they don't have that higher thing that it's anchored to, you know, but one thing that I've realized is like being able to afford something means different things to a lot of different people.
It does.
You know,
100%.
It's like first, whatever, like when I say I might be able to afford something, it might mean a lot different just to the next person. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just because we have the money doesn't mean necessarily this, that I can afford it. Mm. Right.
Yep.
And so like, I was really in a pursuit to get a year of survival. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's like, I really laid that out to where it's like, okay, what does it cost to survive by the month? Okay. What's that look like for a year? Mm-hmm. Right. And I forget, like, whatever it was at that time, 80, 90 grand. And was like complete survival at that time. And so it's like, I was just really in like full pursuit of getting that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, like, okay, just because I have like this money, it's like once we start getting more money, we start getting more options.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I see like derail a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, now I have more options. Now I can get that car, take that trip, or do whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the money's in the account.
Right.
Right. I got more paychecks coming.
Right.
You know? And it's like, but really truly learning to live like below our means. Mm. Right. And it's like, it can be, it's such a rat race, such like a trap, you know, to, because I feel like a lot of people end up trying to just do it before it's time, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, but going back to answer your question, I think that it was really important for me, again, to, I'm not restricted. I'm investing this in my future, right? And I'm just staying disciplined now to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of like the paradigm shift that I had to have with it. Now I'm not going to put my stuff, I'm not going to put any of my money in stuff that I can't touch for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That never made sense to me.
Yeah.
Right. But that does make sense for somebody who may not be as disciplined with it. Right.
Yep.
Or who isn't like, man, I don't even want to mess with like any investments. I don't want to mess with real estate. I just want to go to work. Mm-hmm. Right. That may make sense for them.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you can stay disciplined and, you know, whether it be in, setting those financial targets and getting like another real estate or another investment property or whatever that is, but having that vision in that target of where you're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then designing the budget around that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think and really learning to live off of a percentage of your income. Mm. Right. So it's like being able, whether it be off, you know, it's different for everybody. You know, it's like being able to live off 80%, 70%, 50%, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, but the more you do that, the faster that we actually can get to living life on our terms, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What is, I want to ask you a question just to get your perspective on it. What does financial stability mean to you?
Yeah.
That term financial stability, what does it mean to be financially stable?
One, the lifestyle that I live, and the lifestyle, whoever that we're living, mm-hmm. that I would say like at least a year put in there,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And for me, that's like what it meant. And I can't say that I wasn't financially stable before, because mm-hmm. like as we were building the thing, mm-hmm. you know?
It's more rooted, to me, it sounds like it's more rooted for you in the discipline of, I'm going to put so much here and so much here and so much here, and I'm not, it doesn't matter how emotional I feel about it.
Yeah.
This is just it sounds like you're pretty damn good at not spending emotionally, yeah. at least beyond
yeah.
your means.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like you're not like, well, now I'm sitting on whatever and now I can just, oh, you know what? I just feel like doing this, even though there's like, no, I think the people that are financially not stable are the ones where it's like, there's no rhyme or reason of why they're doing what they're doing. They're just doing it because their bank account says they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I started asking myself early on, man. And I would say within like the first like 6 months of like starting the business.
Yeah.
Like was, if I didn't bring another dollar in after today, how long would we be okay for?
Mm.
That's the question. I started asking myself that like regularly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, it's 60 days, 90 days. Okay, now we got a year. And then the year started piling up. And I really, cause that's like what we're all trying to get to is like, okay, well, like I'm good for the rest of our life,
yeah.
you know, and being able to eventually retire. But, if we're not like thinking in that manner, I think a lot of people, man, it's just like, money's a tricky thing, man. It says yeah. it in the Bible. It's like, we're just tested so much with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started asking myself questions like that. And it's like, okay, is this a decision right now that the 50-year-old Brandon would thank me for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I had to cut out like, whatever, was it buying a pair of shoes or a car, or whatever that thing was. But like, I always wanted to be able to save at least half of the income. Mm. Like I wanted to be able to save at least half of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, and Kelly, you know, she was she was great for that. Like Kelly rubbed two pennies together and get a dollar, right? Yeah. You know, single mom, like just making it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I didn't have to worry about like her going on crazy spending sprees. She was always trying to save money.
Yeah.
You know, which yeah. that was definitely helpful. But yeah, I think it's like having that, the target that we're in accountable to
yeah.
and why it's important, whether that be the purchase of a new home, whether that be, we want to be able to retire by this time and we need to save this amount per year to do that, mm-hmm. you know, and just staying actually, discipline to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good. I want to talk with you about, financial foundation. Like what are some key things? You talked about a few already, like the emergency fund and, things like that. What is your big feeling and how do you manage debt? Hmm. So you go back to Dave Ramsey, right? Yeah. Dave Ramsey says debt is the devil, mm-hmm. right? If you're beholden to any man or any debtor, that's like the worst possible mm-hmm. thing. But I also know from experience, and you know this too, there's a difference between bad debt and good debt, mm-hmm. right? So how do you view debt?
Yeah. You know, I think I don't love debt,
yeah.
you know? but it, when it comes down to it, you know, it's like, okay, because do I have, it's say, for instance, if we're buying a car, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, okay, do I have the ability to buy this car cash, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next question is, what's my interest rate, mm-hmm. right? And yep. so it's, say, for instance, if it's a $50,000 car, and in this $50,000 car, well, I'm going to have a 3% interest rate on, mm-hmm. right? Or if it's going to be a really high interest rate. Essentially, if I pay this off, if I don't pay this off, would my money that I'm investing in, if I'm investing that money in something else, would I be beating that interest rate?
Mm.
You know, that's the way I looked at yep. that.
So like if somebody got a car loan at 72 months, that's terrible, at 60 months with 0%, then that loan makes sense.
That was for sure.
Yeah, because yeah. Where are you going to put that
free,
money
it's
that makes
free money.
It's free money.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, but I think that's a trap. It can be a trap for some people, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think knowing it's like going back and figuring out, writing out a budget, right? And a budget mm-hmm. is something that you don't budge from, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, good.
And it's like that you can actually stay inside of, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And to where it's like, okay, does this fall into alignment with that? And it's like, man, not maxing out. Like a lot of people are just like weeks away from losing everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And you see, it's like, man, you see a lot of people like, I mean, just at higher levels do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know, it's like, okay, is my budget, is that something that we can put a decent percentage of our income into investments,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, that's something that I really tried to hold on to, especially being self-employed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so having the separate accounts, right. And having those savings account, making sure that at the very bare minimum, it's in a money market account and gaining yep. some type of interest.
Yeah.
Right. And I would definitely, you know, suggest meeting with the financial advisors. You know, I know some financial advisors get a bad rap, mm-hmm. but there's some good ones out there. And here's the deal. When you're meeting with a financial advisor, you don't have to do everything they say.
Yeah.
you know? You don't. Yeah. And you don't have to give them every bit of your money,
right.
but you at least can start laying out a plan.
Yeah.
Right. And like, and it's like, okay, what do we want the next year to look like? 2 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. right? When do we want to be able to retire? And what do we need to do to make that happen?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important because it's like, man, like that spending that money, it's just like, you know, it gets those dopamines going,
yeah,
like feel
sure.
good, you know, whether mm-hmm. it be buying a new pair of shoes, a car, whatever the thing was, it's like mm-hmm. that dopamine hit. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I created a rule early on, like, you know, if it was over $500, I'm waiting a week.
Yeah.
Right. I was never getting anything over $200 at that same visit. Mm-hmm. Like I was at least coming back $500 a week, $1,000 2 weeks. I just had that rule. It's like, do I really want this?
Yeah.
You know, because I can't tell you. It's like, man, prior to that, it was like I had so much stuff. You know, it's like, why did I even buy that? Like mm-hmm. I used it for like a month.
Yeah.
I didn't even like them or whatever the thing was. It was just that feeling at the time.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like not impulsively spending.
Yeah.
You know, I think is really big. And man, I think like, man, like giving is a big part of mm-hmm. our financial foundation.
You're talking about tithing, right?
Tithing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I had, we just moved up to Troy and, you know, I just had this thing like come over me and we were tithing prior to this, but it was just kind of what was convenient.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, a couple $100 or whatever the thing was that mm-hmm. week. And it wasn't ever like a set percentage.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like, we pulled in the garages, like, and I remember getting out of the truck and it's like, and just something just came over me and it's like, I really think we're supposed to step our giving up, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, I do too. Let's do it. You know, nice. It was just like, it was yeah. awesome. And, yeah. I kid you not, man, like that next year, that was like the year we really started taking off on another level.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not just saying, oh, okay, I'm gonna start tithing and gain these huge financial gains. Mm-hmm. Right. It pays off in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But I believe it is really a big part of being a good steward.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if I can't trust them with 10, why would I ever trust them with 20?
Right.
You know, if I can't trust them with 100, why would I ever trust them with 1,000?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's, so I think that's been a really big thing for us. That's just part of the deal, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a question,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, man, I can't tell you, like, as we've, started like just continue to progress in that, it's like, man, just the abundance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But and I think a lot of people will end up spending out of their means.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I think, you know, people just driving stuff they shouldn't be driving, living in homes they really can't afford, you know, and it's like, and just cause whatever, okay, I have enough money to pay all my bills. It's like, do you really want to just be stuck in the survival mode?
Right.
Right. And cause I think that's a big part of going, being able to go to thriving and being able to truly live life on our terms, you know, and it's like, as like before we did the deal, you know, it was like just stacked and stacked and stacked and really just stayed like this. And I got kind of like addicted to seeing that grow.
Yeah.
You know, like that was like that was worth all of the short term sacrifice, long term gain, you know, what I thought was sacrifice. And really that was just what I had to tell myself, you know, so I could hold on a little bit to see like the bigger investments go, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that was just something really big for us. And I think a lot of people, man, when it comes to their finances, like I think they're just jumping behind the wheel, cranking the engine up, hitting the highway, pressing the pedal to the metal and just letting go of the wheel. And it's like, okay, I hope we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, and just don't really, aren't really, are scared, almost scared to be intentional with it.
Yeah.
You know, and really like pull back the rug. And it's like, whether it be debt, you know, taxes, anything like that. And it's like really taking control of that aspect.
Yeah.
I know that's how it was for me for sure.
Yeah.
And it's like when I really was actually willing to look at it, I was like, okay, this isn't that scary. You know, this isn't that bad.
When I was younger, I played that game for sure where it was like, I mean, we come from the roofing industry, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, that's just one more roof. I just need to sell one more roof.
Right.
You know what I mean? That payment is no big deal. That's just one more roof a month. You know what I mean? Like, what a ridiculous thing to do when I was.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah. Though, I just didn't know better. Right. I mean, I think, well, maybe I knew better, but I just didn't, I just always believed in my mind and I didn't ever want to mentally operate, even though I didn't want to mentally be fearful of like, or act in scarcity.
Right.
I always just try to convince myself like, it's fine. You can do this, but it's fine. I think that's a good thing maybe when you're a little bit younger, but as you get older, that's a bad, that's a dangerous mindset.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I think like, man, because it is, it's like the dichotomy of it, right? Like that's a very fine line of like keeping pressure on ourselves, but also not making those decisions that like hinder our future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's like, man, like, I don't know, we had, setting that budget was really good for me. It's like, cause like I kept making more and more money. Right.
Yeah.
And so I didn't automatically up my budget when I was making the more money.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and just, you know, people ask me like, well, Brandon, when's the right time? It's like when you can do it and not notice it.
Yeah.
You know, when
it doesn't stress you out.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you can write the check and you're like, it's fine.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just having like, I think the overall arching thing for me is like the vision and the targets of whether it be retirement, like if truly right, not like if it, whether by yourself or with your partner, if you have a partner, definitely with your partner. But like, okay, what does life look like? What is life on our terms?
Yeah.
Right. And how much like do we need for that?
Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, whether you want to have mansions and supercars, or you just want to be able to retire, like you need millions of dollars, you know? And it's not the easiest thing in the world to stack $1 million. And so it's like, and if I lay this out and it's like, okay, off of each $1 million I'm going to make after taxes on average year, I'm going to make about 80 grand off that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If it's in the market and it's like, okay, so how, like, if, what does that life look like on our terms? And then how many millions of dollars do I need to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like, that was how I started framing it. And it's like, okay, wow, that's literally just a crumb, you know?
Yeah.
What I, like, I think people either, when you stack up say 100 grand, you know, and I think it's like people will do one or two things. They'll think it's way more than it actually is.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, oh man, I'm rich, you know? And, or they realize how little it actually is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think if we have, this is why I think it's really important to have that vision dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's cause like when we have that dialed in, we realize it's literally just a crumb.
That's not
you
much.
Know, and what I need.
Yeah. And I think what you said earlier is really important that everybody understands, like it does take your willingness. And if I could go back and tell my younger self this, I definitely would, but it takes your willingness to live way beyond your means. Almost like if, when you start making decent money, to almost live like you're broke.
Yes.
and yeah, for real, yeah, like you're broke. And even though you see a lot of money in your account or significant money in your account, you still have to behave like you're broke,
yeah,
because that's when, like you said, it starts to stack and people don't understand compounding interest or yeah, compounding money, that it grows really fast if you just leave it alone, yeah, and put it in the right vehicle,
right,
which we could talk about at length, yeah, but yeah, you have to have that mindset for a little while.
For sure. Yeah. That's like, what's the least amount of money I could survive on? You know, it's like, cause that's the only way we get to an area in life that we're not bound by cash.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that we're not making every decision off our life based off what we can afford.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. To be, you know, not that it's a terrible thing, but to be like 55, 60 years old and still working your ass off because
right,
you didn't start stacking when you were younger.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple questions here, but I want to definitely switch and talk about, let me take a breath before I fucking say this word. Oh, sorry. I dropped the F-bomb there, yeah, but before I say this word, taxes.
Yeah, man.
So
yeah,
this is a tough one, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're an American citizen and you're of any right mind at this point, you know that taxation is not really something we should be experiencing at the alarming rate that we're experiencing, mm-hmm, it. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to the length of saying taxation is theft, but anyway, yeah, but if you think about it, like if we go to lunch, we pay taxes on the food we eat.
Oh, yeah.
When we make money, it comes out of our checks. Mm. If we, I don't know, it basically everything we do in life, there's a tax to the thing, mm, right? So most people think like it's 30%. I think it's probably closer to 40, maybe 50 when you think about, you know, you're buying clothes and you're paying for clothes with after tax dollars and, you know, that whole thing. So let's talk about this for a minute. So just from the rawness of income, right? How much money should I be putting aside or saving if it's not already coming out of my check?
Yeah.
What do I do about taxes?
I would say 40%. And okay, just to be safe.
Okay. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's what the bill is going to be at the end of
right,
the year. It right, just means that's what we should plan safe, on it being.
Right,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like this is so many people. It's, you know, I had to reframe all of this, mm, right? Well, one, I think, again, this is just the unique way God designed my life. You know, the state just spent a decade, you know, paying yeah, for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I
probably owe you a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And, you know, as I went into this, like, and I just started reframing it, like, man, and it's like we can focus on all the, oh my goodness, what are they doing with our money and this, that, and yeah, the other. And it's like, and I just chose to look at it like, man, I get to pay for a firefighter. I get to pay a police officer's salary. Mm. I get to pay a couple of them now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's, but I just framed it like that,
yeah,
you know, because at the end of the day, it's like, what's in my control, mm-hmm, right? And so many people, especially business owners or 1099s, business owners, whatever that is, you know, will start playing this tax game of writing everything off,
mm-hmm,
right? And I'm glad, you know, early on, like I wanted to be able to buy a house really mm-hmm, quickly. Mm-hmm. Right. And I remember thinking, cause I subcontracted for a long time mm-hmm, and I did not pay taxes,
yeah,
like minimal. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, man, and that was like 2 years. I was like, mm-hmm, in my mind, I was like, that's just a huge, there's this huge, I'm gonna call them the IRS and there's just gonna be a massive bill waiting on me. And, so I was scared to call them.
Yeah.
But you know, I finally did. And, they're like, yeah, you don't owe us anything. And mm, I'm like, thank you, God.
You
know,
yep,
at first I was like, no, there's gotta be a mistake, you know? But you know, and I just started, I paid more taxes. I could have wrote way more stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I wanted to be able to buy a house like in the next year.
Yeah.
Right. And then I wanted to be able to keep, I wanted to get good business credit. I wanted to be able to have purchasing power.
Yeah.
And so I just had it to where, that 40% isn't mine.
Yeah.
That's the government's, mm-hmm, you know, and for it. And I chose not to look at all of the things that whatever I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like at the end of the day, it's out of my control anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, so I just like, again, like supporting a teacher, a police officer, a firefighter and like, oh, I got to help build that park, you know, stuff yeah, like that. And it's like, okay, really living inside of the means.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was something that really helped me. But I, you know, I see like guys like and gals like starting this, like, you know, whether it be roofing industry or whatever. And it's like, they get years into this and then like can't get a property or doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a buddy that's, like was making, you know, $500,000 plus for years, and like couldn't go get a property. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, like I'm cheating. I'm getting one over, right? I made $500,000 and they actually are paying me $3,000.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's like cool. Like that you feel like that very short term.
Yeah.
Right. But you have no proof of income. Yeah. And so, you know, and I think like for me, there is a world that you get to work your way up to that you don't pay off, that you don't have to pay as much in taxes. Mm-hmm. Like, because like you've done it right. And real estate has been the biggest tax haven for me, for sure.
Yep.
And that was like, just, but that took time to build, right? Yeah. Like if I would have tried to do it like early on, it's like, okay, I'm not trying to pay anything in tax. And I still definitely pay my fair share in taxes, but having the real estate portfolio that we do is definitely helps,
yeah.
You know, 'cause you get the depreciation from those properties. Mm-hmm. But that takes time to build up, right? And I think every instance that I've seen people like try to shortcut it, because me as subcontract, when I was subcontracting, I worked for a lot of contractors, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a few of them greatly successful for periods of time.
Yeah.
And it's like, and got taken out, where tax evasion, everything like that, mm-hmm. and just not actually doing stuff the right way and keeping it on the up and up.
Yeah. I think it's, it goes back. I had a coach one time that told all of us when we were together, the piper gets paid.
Yeah.
No matter what.
If you want to get paid, man.
So it's like, okay, so you find a way to write some stuff off or whatever the case may be, and you quote unquote skirt it for a little while, that's going to hose you like you're talking about. Yeah. You want to, now then you're like, I want to go buy a house, but you can't. Right. So you got to do a stated income loan, which means the percentage is much higher.
Right.
Right. So, or you can just bite the bullet for a few years and then do the things you want to do. And like you said, figure out the real estate game or the investment game or whatever. And then you earn the right. The
piper,
you paid the piper early. You're not paying the piper late. Right. You know what I mean? Right. So, but either way he gets paid.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. There's no doubt about it. It's like, you want to dance, you got to pay the fiddler.
Yeah.
And getting to a place, it's like where you've set your life up actually in your means. So you don't notice it as much.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like it, you know, I see the people's like, okay, I'm going to pay it back. Right. Okay. I have my tax account set up. Right. And whatever, I got however many thousands of dollars in there. It's like, okay, I'm going to borrow this 'cause I want this thing right now. And I'm going to pay it back before then.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a trap.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, but if actually doing things the right way over time, you do get to start getting those depreciations and like you said, earning the right to actually do that.
Yeah.
But it's like when people try to skip the steps, essentially,
yep. It
ends up just hosing you in the future.
You're always going to get caught.
You're always going to.
Yeah, man. And then you got to worry about like, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot that goes with it, like the penalties and the whatever.
And there's so many taxes. I remember the first time like going from 1099 to W-2.
Yeah.
It was like, I just making that one decision, it's like, then you have to pay everybody around 13% of what you're paying them just to pay them.
Right.
You know, I was like, I used to get caught up on the little things like that. Right.
Yeah.
But I just had to really reel myself back in. It's like, okay, what's in my control? Okay. It's in my control to actually keep adding value. Right. Yeah. And make it to where I don't notice that.
Yeah.
Or I can sit here and focus on that. And that's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the first time I had to write a 6-figure check to the IRS and I had a really shit attitude about it.
Yeah,
I did. I remember calling one of my good buddies, Rick, and I was like, hey, I have to write a $125,000 check to the IRS. And he was like, well, you know what the crazy part is I get to write a $900,000 check to the IRS this year.
Yes.
So he's like, you bro, that's a terrible mindset.
Yeah.
He's like, there's a million people that would love to be in your shoes
right.
to have the problem that you have to write a check to the IRS.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. He's like, bro, I get to write them almost $1 million check this year.
Like,
do you know what I did? You know, that means like, what did our company do this year? And I was like, wow, that's a really great perspective.
Yeah.
So that shifted, that was literally the moment that shifted. That was actually in December or January of 2016.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that conversation, but that was literally the moment that shifted the whole thing where I was just like, okay, this is I get it, you know, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. 'Cause I did it like the exact same. It was just like, man, like God, thank God that I was able that I even owe that like, yeah. like and like what I was able to actually make on my income to get to pay that.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's like, man, you just see people get caught up so much in what they're having to pay instead of what they're actually getting from it. And yeah. usually most of the time, what I've found in that those people are living way outside of their means.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
I'm just for the record too, you guys, like, I'm not a fan of taxes.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear, right? I would be all good if this, whether it's this administration or another one in the future decides to flat tax everybody or, you know, whatever. It's just part of the game. Like yeah. right now we have to do it. It's part of the,
we have like some of the lowest taxes out of all like the superpowers of the world.
Yeah.
Canada, yeah. Europe.
Oh yeah.
Like we
sure.
have like the lowest,
yeah.
you know? And I think it's like, man, at the end of the day, yeah, there's a million things like, and I'm not a fan of taxes. Like yeah. I don't love paying taxes. Right.
right.
But at the end of the day, I think we have a pretty, like, you know, when we call 911, people come.
Yeah.
You know, we have parks to take our kids to. You know, we have schools that we can send them to for free.
Yeah.
You know, it's like yeah. there's so many pros on that. Mm-hmm. You know, we can walk into a hospital and actually be served.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's like what we focus on gets bigger type.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I just try to, like, whenever I'm going down that rabbit hole, like, just direct my attention back to the good stuff.
Yeah. I think and also too, we've talked about this in other podcasts, but it's part of our biblical responsibility.
Yeah.
I think people forget
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I think there are actual sections of the Bible that talk about paying taxes and being a good steward.
Yeah.
So it's just part of it, man. I mean, like, you can fight it, but
yeah. It just ends up hurting yourself in the long run.
Yeah. And honestly, there were times in my life where I tried to fight it and whatever. And the mental anguish that came with that yeah. was far greater than just paying it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like
yeah.
thinking at night, like, oh, is somebody coming to take my stuff?
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Seriously. Cause they will.
yeah.
They will. Freeze your assets. And
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So that yuck. I don't want that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No. And I think at the end of the day, man, it's just like doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, whether like you're cheating on your taxes, and I think some people try to justify it, mm-hmm. like you're still cheating.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. you're still not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, there is a right way that like you have to actually earn your way up there, you
yeah.
know, to get to where you can have less of a tax liability because you've invested your money properly, you know, in the places that have those opportunities.
Yeah.
You know?
So if these guys are sitting here right now, and I mean, like we're coming to the end of the year and they know they're sitting there and they're like, I'm definitely robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Or I'm definitely living way beyond my means. But I want to go into the ego side of it a minute. I don't want to go backwards because I'm going to look like an idiot. I don't want to cut things because I'm going to look like a fool to some people, or I don't know, whatever the story yeah. might be, bro. Like for real. Like,
yeah.
What advice would you give to them that's just like, hey, listen, this is better than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one, what anybody else thinks of you is none of your business.
Right.
We can get so caught up in making decisions based off of how we look or what other people think. Mm. But it's like, really, like what's right for, I would really write out, what does that vision look like?
Mm.
And having an honest assessment where you're actually at.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and being accountable to that, you
yeah.
know, but it's like, it doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. You know, the biggest flex isn't what's, you know, what car we're driving. Mm-hmm. Like if that's our biggest flex, the bank account, our investment portfolio, the stuff that nobody else can see,
yeah.
you know, that should like be the stuff that really feeds us. Like, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, no, I know I'm doing the right thing for like myself, my future self, my family,
yeah.
you know, but I think a lot of the stuff is ego,
yeah.
you know? So I think really writing out, where you're at, but where you want to be, mm-hmm. you know, and how you're going to get there, reverse engineering that
mm-hmm.
and getting to a place like where it's like, man, it doesn't like whether it be cutting out some trips, whether it be, you know, downgrading a car, whether whatever that is, mm-hmm. To where you can actually get into a place where you can save. And like, in my mind, if you are self-employed, you should be trying to save 50% of your income because there is like, it's not guaranteed.
No, the rainy day fund, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
And to where it's like, yes, I pray, I hope we're going to have an amazing year next year, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, at the end of the day, I can't say that to be certain,
yeah.
right? I know we're yeah. going to have, we're going to do our damn part,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like being prepared for that storm. Mm. And in the process of that, it's like one thing, the people, like the more cash you have, the more power you have. Mm-hmm. And I mean that like in buying power. So mm-hmm. in a down market, it's like whether it be the housing market crashes or whatever that is, you're able to actually capitalize on those opportunities,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And double and triple your investments. Mm. But it's like, if you don't have the cash, if you don't have the buying power to do that, you know, you're missing those opportunities because we want to drive whatever car or whatever the thing was,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I think that is like, writing out a budget that is actually, you're actually able to save a decent percentage for investments of your income.
Yeah. Also, if you have the ability to make a lot of money and you're still in that space of like things are tight, if you scale it back, you're not going to scale it back for long.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're going to yeah. scale it back long enough to cut some of that and build up some savings. Maybe it takes you 2 years.
Right.
What's 2 years compared to that, like you're saying, that storm doesn't happen and now you're right. real screwed.
Right.
Now you're starting right. to lose assets. Right. You're getting your house foreclosed on, things like that. Yeah. 'Cause you just didn't scale back long enough to pile some things up and
yeah.
go forward.
I think like, and it's not all our money, right? Mm-hmm. And to where it's like that. And what I mean by that is having that good portion, that's your future self's money. Mm. It's like, I remember hearing somebody, dang, and this was like good. Early on, it was like 5 years of intentional focus with mm. these things and these disciplines. And by the end of that, like being able to live life much more so on your terms.
Yeah.
Right. And that was like kind of as I was getting started too. And like, it was just something that always stuck with me. And it's like, man, okay, like short-term sacrifice, long-term gain, short-term sacrifice, long-term gain.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest takeaways, writing out that budget, forming that budget to where you can at least save 20 to 50% of your income, mm. right? And putting that into a money market account.
Yep.
But then having that, like, whether it be an investment property, whether it be whatever that next investment is, it's like, okay, this is for, you know, we're getting $50,000 for the next investment property,
yep.
you know, something like that, something that it's anchored to, and it's going to be much more easier to stay inside of those lines when you have something you're really anchored to and then you really believe in.
Yeah. So good. So good. Anything else that
yeah, feel nah, good about yeah, that? Nah, yeah, I really wanted to hit on this, yeah. man. Like you're saying, like it's the end of the year, you yeah. know, and it's, you know, people are trying to like get, making those last decisions, like whether it be on write-offs or mm-hmm. whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you need the write-offs, go buy a property, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like, don't put yourself in a position where you're just showing no proof of income
yeah.
and you're not able to do the things that we actually want to do in life.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being honest with this stuff and sharing and transparent more than honest, but this is a big deal. Like I think yeah. a lot of guys struggle with this. I know they do. I get conversation or questions about this yeah. stuff, and you and I have talked about this stuff. So it's an important topic for sure.
Yeah. No, my pleasure, man. Yeah. yeah.
You guys have questions about this. This is a lot. We know we could literally talk about this for hours, but you guys can send them over to WIT@BrandonJRoofing.com. Just send them over. Be transparent. We're not going to judge you. Like if you're in a hole and you're stuck right now and you need a little bit of advice, we're definitely not accountants or tax attorneys or
yeah.
any of that stuff. Yeah. Just making sure that's clear. But we'll help you to the best of our ability or at least connect you to a resource that might be able to help you a little more. So WIT@BrandonJRoofing.com. Again, please like, comment, share, get the podcast out there. We love you guys. Appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
See you.
Take care.
Ferrari's burning rubber, call that horse shit. Wasn't always this way back in the day, I couldn't afford shit. Now I might just mess around and end up on the Forbes list. Like it or not, we gon' stay on top, not you can't ignore this.